Whenever you're ready.
That's just your intro, sweetie.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely.
And now the incomparable Louise Naharumi.
So I went over to Vancouver on Thursday and had a lot of first experiences. I got onto the bus number 70, which takes you out to the ferry just from close by here. And I got to sit on a double-decker bus on the top for the very first time in my life. And when I got off the ferry on the other end, I got on an accordion bus. Articulated? Well, frankly, I thought it was a caterpillar. So that was another first. And when I got off the bus, I got onto a SkyTrain subway. And I felt like it was in the movies. And I felt fear at all the mass of humanity that was around me. And I recognized that fear, and I thought, boy, I mean, that fear is what happens when we don't know what's going to happen, or when we think something bad is going to happen, which is where my movie reference comes from, something bad's going to happen. And I had to really sit with that and be okay with it. And that was another first. Not the sitting and being okay with it, but the being on the caterpillar. No, the subway. Yeah. So fear is a really huge part, I believe, of many of our lives. When I was a little girl, I played with little girls. I had no inkling that my affection for little girls and my aversion to little boys was anything other than a normal childhood. We were trained as girls, I know you'll all get this, all the women in the room, to serve men. Hopefully that's not as true today as it was when I was younger, and when you were younger, perhaps. So all the magazines, all the media, the radio, the television, it was all about these nice, slender, white, mostly, lithe women who could do it all, but they did it all at home, and were rarely appreciated. At least that was my assumption. So in my later years, I was married to a man for 22 years. He was my childhood sweetheart. We had four children. And in the end, we'd both sobered up and decided we really didn't have that much in common. And I had a 5-year period where I was alone. And I saw two women. I was in charge of our church. Well, it wasn't a church any longer. It was a community hall. It was a little tiny, tiny building. And so I was the person responsible for renting it out to people. And one day, two women came walking down my long driveway, and they were holding hands, and they were absolutely gaga. They were looking at each other, and I was going, I'm sure they thought I was homophobic. I just stared and stared and stared, because I had no idea. No idea such a thing was possible. I don't know where I was at, because it wasn't all that long ago, but I really didn't have a clue. So, yeah, it took maybe 5 years, and I found a woman that she taught me how to dance. I was giving her a singing lesson, and she said, stop, listen to the music, and then she started dancing with me. And with our first kiss, I knew I was coming home. It was just an incredible experience. And then things started clicking into place. Ah, okay. But it did take me a long time, for my brain at least, to get around the idea of being attracted to women. I found it very hard to identify myself as a lesbian. I don't like labels. And yet today I can say that proudly. there was part of the consternation was these perceived religious connotations. And I tell you, until I saw the back of the bulletin just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that said nowhere in the Bible is there any reference that Jesus said anything against homosexuality and so on, I didn't know that. Because frankly, when I came out to my mother, all she could say was, I don't know what your father would have said. He was gone. He was dead. It took her a long time. Many, many years. She moved congregations. She went to a very evangelical, I'm not even sure if it's United, I suspect it's an Anglican church. She went to the Anglican church after being a United Church person all her life. And her musical director was a gay man. Now, I don't know how long it took her to figure that out. Because as she says, you don't ask the question if you think you already know the answer. And she, that man and she became best friends. He taught her singing. She went singing twice a week for singing lessons. I credit him with her change of heart, or her change of mind. No, there's too many stories, so I won't go there. One of the things that also helped me was a friend of mine, a lesbian friend, who said, God doesn't make junk. God made me as I am, who I am. After 5 years of being alone, I met a woman, and it was like the movies. It was just, you know, those glances across the room. And she had been with a woman who was a paramedic, and so was very, very closeted. And when we first got together, we were walking down 49th Street in Vancouver, 49th and Fraser, and I just grabbed her hand and started holding her hand, and she was like, you know. And for me, I realized then that what was important, and the message that I feel is the most important for me to give and share, is that if we don't see it, then it becomes abnormal, uncommon. We don't see it. We don't know it exists, or we don't approve of it because we don't see it. But when you see people walking down the street holding hands, no matter what their gender, I suspect that what you see is love. I hope. I suspect that those of us in this room today would see love. I'm a little disconcerted that there are so few of us here today. However, it's spring. It's beautiful. After 18 years of marriage to my wife, she became a Jehovah's Witness. And they're the ugly head of religious connotations came back. She couldn't understand why I didn't simply want to go from a romantic married relationship to a companionship as friends. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And so I moved to the island. I have a 16-year-old grandson who, at 13, identifies as gay. And a 14-year-old granddaughter, different family, different daughter's daughter, who firmly asserts that she is asexual. Absolutely, no doubt in her mind. And she's heard her cousin talking about being gay and so on and so forth. So either, no, I'm not going to judge it. I have no idea how one at that age, okay, I knew. I knew I was different. I just didn't know what it was. And they know. And they have the language for it. And they can give you the what it means, all those extra letters and so on and so forth. So sometimes it's hard for me to remember to just hold space for them and not get into fear about what their lives might look like. I hope that it would be a lot easier than it has been for others. I certainly have been very fortunate. The only... the only slur that I ever heard of was when my partner and I bought a house in Kingsgate, which is just across from the Idaho border. And one of the men called us, you know, those dykes down the road. And a neighbor who bought the property right next to us, he went home to his community, and he said, "We don't have to worry about flooding. We've got two dykes next door." So when I think about pride, because I too have said to some of my friends, why are we marching in pride? What? I mean, isn't it so much better now? And until the bullying and the beatings and the killings stop, wherever they may be, there will always be a need for pride.